But now we have a movie that they spent a lot of money on. So is it worth the money, Tom?
Oh, you want to cut right to the chase there and ask if it's worth the money. Well, I'll give you the short answer. Okay. The short answer is yes, it is. It's most definitely worth it. Yeah, so Project Hail Mary is, it's been getting a lot of really good buzz, which is refreshing because as we talked about last week with the Oscars was full of movies nominated that nobody has seen, that go straight to streaming, that are, you know, just kind of more obscure or maybe have a political agenda or whatever. And it seems like the day of the big budget crowd-pleasing blockbuster had kind of gone away. But then every now and then, one pops up and Hollywood gets reminded that people really do want to go to the movie theater to see a big popcorn movie. Like, you know, for example, the Top Gun sequel that came out a couple years ago that did so well. So I'm happy to say that Project Hail Mary falls into that category. This is a, this movie is based on, as you said, Ellen, a novel by the same name written by Andy Weir that was released in 2021, so not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Andy Weir also wrote the novel The Martian, which was a good popular movie starring Matt Damon several years ago. So there's a lot of bona fides going into the making of this movie between the established novelist Andy Weir. It's directed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who are primarily known for great success with animated films. They were the directing team that did Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Mitchells versus the Machines, the first two Lego movies, the two Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse animated films. Those are all very funny, very clever, imaginative films. And so I was excited to see these two get into a big budget, really their first big budget spectacle live action film to see if all that carries over. And then, of course, at the center of it, it stars Ryan Gosling. And Ryan Gosling, I would say, if you had to rank right now, currently in Hollywood, who is the most charismatic, most universally well-liked, but also very, very good actor? To me, I feel like Gosling is this generation's Tom Hanks.
Oh, okay.
Like he's great at what he does. He can play any role. Seems like a super nice guy. Appeals to men and women. And just really the kind of guy you want at the center of a film like this. Because this film is big, is a big spectacle. But also it hinges on his performance because, speaking of Tom Hanks, kind of like Tom Hanks did in the movie Castaway many years ago, the whole thing hinges on this one performance because just like Castaway, Gosling is essentially by himself in this movie, as Hanks was on the island in Castaway. He's got to carry the thing. Like if his performance, if he can't sell his performance, the whole thing's going to fall apart.
Oh yeah.
So, but Gosling is always great. I mean, he's always great. I've never seen him in a role that I thought fell flat or anything like that. So the plot of the movie is, it may sound cliche at first, but I'll read you the little Wikipedia synopsis or the Google synopsis. Project Hail Mary is about Ryland Grace, an amnesiac astronaut who wakes up alone on a spaceship millions of miles from Earth, tasked with solving an extinction-level threat to humanity caused by a star-eating microbe called astrophage. The story follows his journey as his memories return, forcing him to use science and ingenuity to complete his mission, which involves an unexpected alien ally. So, at first, my first point of skepticism about this movie going into it was, oh, here we go again. The world is going to die out because humanity did something terrible to the climate. And so we're ruining the planet and the guy's got to save it. But it's not that at all. Refreshingly, this is not a preaching movie. This is not a movie that's saying the world is going to end because humans screwed it up. The cause of the world's impending doom has nothing to do with human behavior. It is about this alien microbe that just showed up, and our scientists have to figure out what it is and how to deal with it. So that alone, I thought, wow, this is a bold move by Hollywood to not embed a quote unquote lesson for human behavior in the movie, like every other end of the world scenario movie does. So in that way, it's kind of like, you remember that movie Armageddon with Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck way back when?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Big asteroid was coming and they had to go out and land on the asteroid. So it has shades of that. But it's also, that was kind of a big mindless, you know, explosion-y kind of movie. This is not really like that at all. This film has a very leisurely pace. You can tell that it's based on a novel because it takes its time. It's 2.5 hours long, but it's not in any hurry at all. And so it really gives you a chance to settle in to Gosling's character. It gives you a chance to settle into the setting, to understand what's going on. There are flashback scenes to the whole, the recruitment of his character, who happens to be a middle school science teacher who has a PhD in molecular biology. So he gets recruited by this government agency to work on this. And so you flash back and forth to those scenes, which really set the stage for what is the problem here? What are they trying to do? Why is he involved? And then back to the current time, which is him waking up on the spaceship, not knowing who he is or where he knows who he is, but he doesn't know where he is or why he's there. So he has to figure out, first of all, why he's on this spacecraft and what his mission is. And so you've got this kind of dual timeline thing going on. And then he does encounter another spacecraft with an alien creature on it. That this is given away in the trailers, by the way, so I'm not really spoiling it. But he has to figure out how to communicate with this other creature. And then this creature is also there for this same problem happening to his planet. And so they have to figure out how to work together to solve the problem. And it goes from there. But it's there's great visuals. The score, like the musical score, is really unique and refreshingly different. It's almost like a character of its own. It has like flash. I don't know how to explain this very well, but if you think back to, like, if you've been to Disney World or Disneyland, and they used to have like these rides that they built in the 70s or the 60s that were like Epcot, where like these futuristic sound effects that are, they're futuristic, but they're like the 1960s version of futuristic, if that makes any sense.
I love those.
Yeah.
A little campy, but you immediately know what you're supposed to feel when you hear something like that.
Like Cars of the Future, right? That was a ride. Like back in the 80s, or at least I remember, when I went.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. And right. So that pops up in this score. So it's kind of whimsical and optimistic and futuristic, but also nostalgic at the same time.
Yeah.
The movie is full. I mean, it's a life and death thing, but it's full of humor. The script is very clever. Gosling's character is funny. It is a positive, hopeful movie. It's got strong emotion and relationships. It's just a breath of fresh air. This movie is just an absolute breath of fresh air. It's rated PG-13, but there is absolutely nothing objectionable in this movie. There's not any sexual content. There's not any gore. I don't really remember any crude language or innuendo to speak of. I mean, there's one little joke that has some innuendo, but it would fly so far over the heads of any kid that I wouldn't even, I mean, I'm, many adults wouldn't even get it. So it really is, it's in the times we're living in the state of the world right now, which we don't need to get into. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah.
If you just want a break from that, go see this movie and just enjoy it and settle in and don't look at your watch. Just go in realizing this is a leisurely pace and just kind of be drawn into this world and this situation and just enjoy the film. I will tell you, I was a little tired last night. It started at 7:45, and which means it didn't really start till 8:15. And it was 2.5 hours, and it was a school night for me. And the second half of the movie, I was struggling, but that was my fault. I was frustrated because I was tired. It was not because of the movie. So I would like to see it again in a more fully awake state than I was last night.
You're pretty good. So. Tom, some people on the internet have made reference to that it's called Hail Mary, and the spaceship the scientist, Dr. Grace, is Hail Mary, full of grace. Are there any spiritual elements thrown in this, or is that just kind of a play on words?
See, this is how tired I was. I didn't even make the connection between the Hail Mary and the guy being named Grace.
Oh,
like, that
should
have been the first thing I noticed. So it's called Project Hail Mary because it's, for obvious reasons, yeah, it's the Hail Mary shot to save humanity. Uh-huh. Like, they got one shot at it. It's a long shot. Uh-huh. And so the name of the spaceship is the Hail Mary. Uh-huh. And the astronaut is Ryland Grace, but they just call him Grace, mm-hmm, through the whole movie. And he talks to the spaceship and calls it Mary. So it's Mary and Grace the whole time. Now, if you want to add on to that, the alien he meets, he names Rocky, you know, and that's, you know, there's some religious connotation there too, I guess, but that's maybe stretching too far. But no, there's spiritual themes wise, I would say there's not explicitly anything like that. I mean, okay, it's a very hopeful movie. Mm-hmm. It's full of good themes of virtue and perseverance and hopefulness and all that. But I would say there was not anything overtly or even covertly religious about it.
Okay. I was also reading that this is one of those you should see in the theater, just the immenseness, you know, when they film space and stuff like that. Did you feel that?
Oh, 100%. Okay. My one complaint was the theater. I saw it at Daphne, and my one complaint is that they had the sound down too low. Like, it wasn't loud enough. But I would see this on a big screen with good sound, and this is what movie theaters exist for, is for films like this. I mean, this is not something. I had the same feeling when I watched F1, the racing movie, at home. I thought this would have been great on a big screen.
Yeah.
And so this is one. Go see it on the big screen. Just opened last night, so this is the opening weekend. Mm-hmm. It's got 95% of Rotten Tomatoes and a 97% audience score. So critics and audiences universally enjoy this movie. So it is really appropriate for, I mean, kids might get bored. Little kids would get bored because it is long and sometimes quiet and slower. But I would say, like, adolescents on up, this movie would be a crowd pleaser for most of the family.
Okay. The movie is Project Hail Mary. Tom McDonald can now go back and watch basketball the rest of
yes.
the weekend. Yeah. Thanks, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thanks. Oh.